begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with our reading.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there, he answered, I will not do it. If I find 30 there, he said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there, he answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way. When he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 2. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes the captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And if you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority, in him also were circumcised, and with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This is he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Please stand for the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, Jesus gives us a perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and then he tells us examples of how we should pray and how we should not pray. It's found in Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, "Lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is a reading of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated for our next song, "Death Was Arrested."
Love.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been in like a large group of people? I mean like 22 or so thousand people. You ever been like that? And you're like a subgroup of that group? So then you're trying to be with your group and not get lost in the crowd of people as you're trying to enter a stadium. You ever been there? I have. You know, it's hard. Some groups, like those subgroups, some of them got it figured out, right? They'll put something on top of a large pole and they'll hoist it up so that you can see kind of where you're going. I've seen everything. I've seen football players' faces. I've seen pastors' faces cut out. I saw Chuck Norris 3 years ago. Chuck Norris's face made an appearance at the National Youth Gathering. It was fantastic. But you see all kinds of stuff hoisted above. Admittedly, our group at this last National Youth Gathering, we didn't have anything going down there. But we quickly found something because there's a large group of people all trying to enter the stadium all at the same time. It was by pure luck that we found a down branch. And so we took it. And then Concordia St. Paul, who is what was an absolutely awesome host for our district event, and then also they had a booth. They were very friendly. They gave out socks. I think they must have overbought the socks because they were practically chucking the socks at us. And we said, what are we going to do with all these socks? So we put them on the branch. And thus was born our sock tree. Our beacon in the midst of the crowd and the chaos as we walked through and we hoisted it up. You could always tell where we were going. All you had to do was follow the sock tree. It was our beacon in the midst of chaos. The idea of a beacon, something to look forward to, something to look at, is not something that's necessarily foreign to us as Christians. But the problem comes with what do we look toward? If we're asked about this, we're tempted to fill in the blank with all kinds of different things. When we're asked about who we are and how we identify ourselves, we get into that realm of identity. What do you use as a beacon? How do you identify yourself? Where do you go when you look forward? The world around us wants to fill in that blank with all kinds of things, like sexuality, our race, our sex, or some other thing that we can fill in the blank with. The world around us doesn't always get it. And so they try to fill in the blank with any number of them. Any number. Each of them, some quality or something of some sort, and yet each of them somehow missing the mark. So for instance, while being a male is certainly a characteristic I have, it does not necessarily define me. It does not necessarily make me necessarily good or bad or the like. And to use that as my identity, as my sole identity, truly misses the mark. But even as Christians, we sometimes fall into such temptations. When we recognize that we are Christians and we ask, what is our beacon? Sometimes the wrong answer comes out. Some churches look for extra signs as a point to their identity. One group waits for you to be able to speak in tongues while the other group emphasizes how much you give. Another group points to just how closely you understand a very particular theologian. And yet another desperately wants you to describe your conversion experience. It seems that we look for signs in all kinds of things, much like the culture that is around us. Unfortunately, none of these things quite get it right. Now, when we approach the epistle lesson for today, we hear as Paul reminds us that we are Christians. He reminds us that we are Christians, that we walk, that is, we live our lives as Christians. That is to say, as Christians, we live our lives in a certain way. We take the commandments very seriously. We proclaim the gospel message to others. It's just who we are as Christians. We live our life as people that have been saved by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet all those things are good, but they are not necessarily our beacon. We don't hoist up the Ten Commandments as we go marching on. Yet Paul doesn't stop there, does he? He keeps going. And it's after this that Paul moves and directs us towards baptism. First, Paul connects baptism with circumcision, which used to take place when a male baby turned 8 days old. However, he continues, and it doesn't take him long to further that conversation. Baptism is not just something that is for male children, but it is for all people. In baptism, we are buried with Christ. In baptism, our Lord makes us dead to our trespasses. Truly, it is a spiritual thing to be dead in one's trespasses. It is what we deserve, and it is what we get. But we don't get it in the form of eternal damnation. But instead, we receive it in the waters of holy baptism. And in those waters, the death of Christ Jesus, our Lord, becomes our death. And at those waters, and as those waters flow over our head, his life becomes our life. It is an act that seems so simple, but it is anything but simple. It is an act in which God actively works within us. It's why Paul almost uses it like a rally cry here. And this isn't the first time he has done this either. It's why it becomes kind of a beacon to us as Christians. The beacon that is held up, nothing but the very work of God in Christ Jesus, given to us through water and his word. Now, for those of you that might be wondering what I'm talking about with this whole beacon stuff, allow me to explain. When someone is baptized, right before they're baptized, they receive the sign of the cross both upon their forehead and upon their heart to mark them as one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified, and they are baptized. Those marks become kind of a part of the person. In fact, it becomes a part of us even when we wake up in the morning. In Luther's small catechism, or is it his large catechism, he tells us that we can make the sign of the cross to remind us again and again that we are a child of God, that we, through the waters of baptism, have been made his. Even in our service, sometimes you'll notice what looks like a plus sign or a T that's written into our service. That is there to actively remind us that in those places, we can make the sign of the cross so that we can remember that we are a baptized child of God. Also, the baptismal font. Have you ever noticed that the baptismal font always stays out and it's always kind of in your way a little bit? That's purposeful. We do that on purpose. So that you always have to walk by it. So that you always remember that you have been baptized as you approach the altar. Not all churches put it up there. Some churches put it way in the back to where you can't even get through the doors of the church without first having to realize that you are a baptized child of God as you walk into the sanctuary of our Lord. That you, through the waters of baptism, have died to sin and been born again through Christ Jesus. Paul here directs us to look toward our baptism. And because of that, our lives should be different. Because we have been baptized into Christ Jesus, because we have been baptized into the death and resurrection of our Lord, salvation is ours. Faith is given to us through the Holy Spirit, and through that we grasp on to the very cross of Christ, who gives to us everlasting life. Knowing that, Paul's word becomes all that much more important. This reality should be reflected in our walk. It should be reflected in our lives. The way we walk and the way we act should be reflective of the fact that we are children of God. This might mean that we are different than those around us. It certainly means that we don't define who we are based on all these other things that the world throws at us. We don't need to. We don't have to define ourselves in that way, for we are already defined. We are baptized. We are forgiven. We are Christians. We are the children of our Heavenly Father. And when our Savior returns, we will be with Him for all of eternity. We will receive eternal life through the work of Christ Jesus. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins in the word of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day because we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds, and we come before you this day to ask for mercy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us now as we confess our sins to you in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, and have mercy on us for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we continue our service with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship on the side by the aisle and sign that to other people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
Please stand as we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, loving Father, who has commanded us to come to you in prayer as dear children come to their dear Father, and has promised to hear our prayers in a much fuller measure than even our parents can fulfill, we confess that we have often been neglectful of the duty and privilege of prayer. In your great mercy, hear the prayers of your undeserving children. Almighty God, your power is without limit, and yet you have chosen mortal men and women to govern your people. Help President Trump, Governor Pritzker, and all elected officials to have a spirit of respect for one another, and especially for you. Protect and bless all those who are serving in our armed forces as they stand ready to protect our great country. Lord of the Church, bless the voters of Sand Prairie as we have our quarterly meeting. Make us eager workers together with you in the building of your kingdom. Grant that we may find joy in your service and make the best use of our talents and opportunities. Fill our hearts with a fervent desire and a determined purpose to share the blessings of the gospel with others. Make our congregation a powerful power for good in our community. Bless our efforts to bring your saving gospel to the unchurched. Dear God, bless the youth of our congregation as they seek ways to serve you. Thank you for their efforts in preparing and serving the Ice Cream Social. Thank you for protecting them during the National Youth Gathering. Continue to bless them as they plan other activities and events that will help them keep active in the church and in their faith. Compassionate God, look with kindness on those who are taking treatments, those suffering from illnesses or recovering from illnesses. Virginia Urish, a patient at Hopedale Hospital. Ken Lutz, receiving rehab at Hallmark Care Center. Sandy Lutz, who will be having knee surgery. And Karen Babb, who is receiving chemo treatment. Lord of compassion, remember with joy those that have fallen asleep in saving faith in Jesus. We pray for comfort and strength for the family of Marge Frederick as they mourn her passing on Friday. Comfort them with the assurance that their loved one is with Jesus. Thanks be to you, Lord of life, for Anna Hammond and Lottie Munter Jennings, who will be celebrating birthdays tomorrow. Continue to bless Anna and Lottie with your love and care. Lord of marriage, we rejoice with J.D. and Nancy Prale, who will be celebrating their 54th wedding anniversary, and Charlie and June Barrett, their 55th. Bless J.D. and Nancy and Charlie and June that they remain faithful to you and to each other. Creator of marriage, we pray your blessings upon Carly Biltman and Austin Sedlick, who were united in marriage before this altar yesterday. Bless Carly and Austin that they remain faithful to you and to each other throughout their wedded lives. As we pray daily for families of our congregation this morning, we offer special petitions for the Runyon, the Sansom, the Schaefer, and the Shimofeni families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Dear gracious God, bless all those who partake of the Lord's Supper, that we may receive the body and blood of your Son, sincerely believing that all of our sins have been washed away because of his death on the cross. These things, O Master, and whatever else you know us to need, grant us, we pray, for the sake of our risen, ascended, and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we now continue our service with Holy Communion. Please stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.